Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're the place you come to really unpack complex topics. And today, while we're pulling back the curtain on something vital but often unseen in a nation's local governments, think about it. These are the units shaping our daily lives, everything from the water we drink to the roads we use. Our mission today is to take a deep dive into the 2024 Status Report on Local Government in Albania. It's a key document, this one, from the Institute for Albanian Municipalities. Think of this as your shortcut, really, to understanding the wins, the persistent challenges, and maybe the strategic direction shaping Albania's local communities. We'll pull out the most important bits of knowledge, the key insights, so you walk away really well informed on how these local forces are handling, you know, huge demographic shifts and tough financial realities, all while trying to prep the country for its European future. Okay, so let's unpack Albania's local government structure. We're talking 61 municipalities, 12 district councils. What seems striking right away reading the report is just how these units stack up globally in terms of their scale.
Absolutely. It's quite fascinating, actually. Albania's municipalities are, well, pretty large by regional standards. They rank first in average population size and area compared to the Western Balkans, Southeastern Europe, and even EU countries.
First? Really?
Yes. So, to give you a sense, Albania's average municipality has roughly 39,000 people, and it covers about 471 square kilometers.
Okay.
Now, compare that to the EU average, which is just 5,200 people over 50 square kilometers.
Wow, that's a huge difference.
It is. And it immediately raises this critical question. What does that actually mean for delivering services, for, you know, local governance?
Yeah.
It can create distance, right, between the citizens and the decision makers, and it can make providing services tailored to specific local needs a real challenge.
Right, that makes sense. So what does this mean for the people living there day to day? We've got the Census 2023 data, which the report calls an extraordinary asset. It sounds like it paints a picture of a nation undergoing some significant demographic flux.
Indeed it does. The Census 2023 revealed Albania's resident population is now 2,402,113. That's a decrease of 420,000 people. Just since the 2011 census.
420,000, that's dramatic.
It's a huge drop, and it represents a long-term trend, really since 1990, mostly because of immigration. But what's just as impactful is the internal shift, the redistribution of people within Albania. Roughly one-third of the entire population, 31.6% to be exact, now lives just in the Tirana region.
A third, just in Tirana.
Yeah, and that area has actually seen a 1.2% increase because of internal migration.
Huh.
Meanwhile, other regions like Shkodra and Kukiz saw these massive declines, 28.3% and 27.3% down, respectively.
Okay, so that concentration of people, it's clearly not random. It points to some powerful economic and social pull factors.
Exactly. The report talks about the Tirana fire duress triangle. It's basically reshaped Albania's demographic and economic heartland.
Right.
And it's driven by things like, you know, better job prospects, more investment opportunities, superior infrastructure compared to other parts of the country.
Exactly.
Tirana, obviously, as the capital, is the epicenter for services and business. Durres is this vital commercial and industrial port, and Fier is strategically important for agriculture, energy, and industry. But this movement, it's inevitably led to the depopulation of many other areas, particularly in the north and southeast. It creates these vast disparities.
So if the population's shrinking overall but concentrating so heavily in just one area, what are the wider impacts for the rest of the country? And crucially, what practical recommendations does the Institute offer to tackle this this critical imbalance?
Well, this census data is absolutely vital. You need it for accurate resource allocation, right? For making sure political representation is proportional, and for informing future policy, especially around urban and rural development. The Institute's recommendations, they call for a kind of multi-pronged approach from policymakers. First, try to balance regional development. Stimulate economic growth in other key cities. They mentioned Shkodra, Korsa, Vlora, Elbasan, Kukiz.
Right. Spread the opportunities.
Exactly. Second, strengthen the less developed municipalities. Target investment in infrastructure, essential services. They also suggest supporting programs, maybe incentives, for citizens to return to rural areas. And crucially, implement sustainable urban planning in those high-density areas like Tirana to manage the growth and avoid creating new problems down the line.
So it needs a joined-up effort.
Definitely. An integrated approach between the central government, the municipalities themselves, and the private sector, too.
Okay. Turning our attention to 2024 itself, the report suggests it was quite a dynamic year for local government in Albania. We saw the creation of the Ministry of Local Government, a more active role for the Agency for Local Self-Government Support. Sounds positive, but it wasn't all smooth sailing, was it? Where do the institutes see the biggest challenges, even with these new structures in place?
No, not entirely smooth sailing. While those were definitely positive structural changes, the effectiveness of the Consultative Council remains a concern for the Institute. This is the body meant to foster dialogue between central and local government. But the report suggests it often acts more like a forum, you know, a place for discussion, but without real decision-making clout. And what's also quite telling, and maybe a bit unfortunate, is the continued existence of two separate municipal associations.
Why two?
Well, they're divided along political lines, and this really hinders their ability to present a unified voice for all local governments. That kind of division inevitably weakens their collective bargaining power when advocating for municipal needs.
That split definitely sounds counterproductive, and it brings up a vital point about decentralization itself. How much real power, how much genuine independence has actually shifted down to the local level?
Yeah, that's a key question. The report indicates only limited progress, really, in decentralization, which means local governments are still heavily reliant on funding from the central government. And crucially, they often lack full decision-making autonomy. They can't always decide things for themselves.
So still quite dependent.
Yes. However, we did see some specific agreements in October 2024, things like transferring functions in health, education, agriculture, to certain municipalities.
Yeah.
Bharat, Divjaka, Shkodra, Kalonja were mentioned.
Okay.
So this is the step forward. It's a kind of asymmetrical decentralization where different places get different powers. But it's not universal across all 61 municipalities. It highlights this uneven approach to local autonomy.
And then there's this new local government academy set up in September 2024, aiming to train a massive 26,000 employees. I mean, on the surface, that sounds like a huge investment in building capacity. But what are the potential downsides or nuances the Institute flags here?
Right. It sounds impressive, that number. But the Institute for Municipalities raises some critical questions. First, does this create an overlap with the existing Albanian School of Public Administration, ASPA?
Mm.
Are we potentially duplicating efforts and resources? Second, they point to what seems like a very top-down approach. The municipalities themselves weren't really fully involved in setting the training agenda, which means the training might not perfectly align with what's actually needed on the ground, you know.
Right, the local context matter.
Exactly. Yeah. And furthermore, there's a potential risk of creating a kind of monopoly in training provision. It could sideline independent organizations, maybe even the municipal associations themselves, which historically have provided valuable, often specialized training.
Okay, so potential duplication, maybe not tailored enough, and a risk of monopoly. Worth keeping an eye on. Beyond training, what about strengthening local administrative capacities more broadly? Things like, say, salaries or giving them new responsibilities.
Yeah, there were significant changes there. A decision of the Council of Ministers increased salaries for 6,000 civil service employees at the local level. And they also reclassified municipalities for salary levels.
Is that seen as positive?
The Institute views it as a positive step, yes, towards strengthening admin capacity, maybe helping retain talent. Though they do emphasize, and this is important, that higher salaries need to be matched by actual concrete improvements in the quality of services delivered to citizens.
Sure, it's not just about pay.
Right. And municipalities also gained more active roles in a couple of areas. The building legalization process and the management of beach stations. This gives them a bit more power over public spaces and could speed up some key administrative procedures.
What about the physical administrative structures, you know, the boundaries and internal organization of municipalities across the country? Did we see any significant changes there in 2024?
From a territorial perspective, not really. The administrative structure remained largely unchanged last year. And this is despite the legal possibility for reviewing borders or even reorganizing internally. The system, on paper, is designed for all municipalities to have similar powers, what we call symmetrical decentralization. But in practice, it still shows these tendencies towards asymmetrical decentralization, like we discussed with the function transfers. And interestingly, most municipalities, the report mentions, only Malacastre and Kolonje as exceptions, haven't used their legal right to reorganize the administrative units within their own territories.
Why not?
Well, the report suggests it's often due to political reasons, or maybe administrative inertia. It leads to a kind of incomplete reform, where existing structures are just maintained rather than potentially optimized for efficiency or local needs.
Okay. So how does all this translate to transparency at the local level, making sure citizens can actually get information and hold their local governments accountable?
Well, there's some encouraging news here. Municipal transparency apparently increased in 2024. The assessment showed 42% of municipalities rated positively, which is a notable jump from 29% the year before.
That's a decent improvement.
It's a good sign, progress towards more openness. However, it's not perfect. The Inspector for the Right to Information still had to issue 9 ordering decisions against 8 different municipalities.
What for?
Mostly for refusing to provide information or copies of official documents when requested. So it shows that while overall transparency might be up, there are still these persistent pockets of resistance to information access. Work still to be done there.
Right. Okay, let's connect this to the bigger picture. Albania has strong ambitions for European integration. How do these local government developments, or maybe the lack of development in some areas, fit into that wider national goal?
This connection is absolutely critical. You really can't overstate it. Albania got candidate status back in 2014, and significantly in 2024, they opened the first group of EU accession chapter negotiations in October, then another group in December. That's 7 out of 35 chapters now open.
Okay. Progress there.
Yes, but it's crucial to remember that something like 70% of all EU legislation directly impacts the local level.
70%. Wow.
Yeah, everything from environmental standards, public procurement rules, regional development policies, it all lands at the municipality's doorstep eventually. So local governance reform isn't just some internal administrative tidy-up, it's absolutely central to aligning with the EU.
So how are municipalities responding?
Well, most municipalities now have a dedicated staff position for European integration. And 43 out of the 61 have set up EU integration committees. So that clearly shows commitment, right? They understand the
It
importance.
does.
However, there's a capacity gap. Smaller municipalities often lack the technical expertise, the administrative resources, to actually access crucial EU funding programs. So the Institute recommends things like mandatory partnerships between municipalities for applying for pre-accession funds, pool resources, basically,
Makes sense.
and also focusing donor support specifically on those municipalities with the greatest development needs to help bridge this gap and make sure no community gets left behind in the whole integration process.
Okay, now let's talk about the real bread and butter of local government, the actual services they provide to people every day. Starting with water supply, I mean, it's fundamental. What do the numbers tell us about efficiency and how many people are actually getting served?
Right, water. Well, the regionalization of the water supply and sewage sector, it's moving along. 14 out of the planned 15 regional companies are now operational. The Tirana one is still pending, apparently due to some technical discussions.
Okay, and how are they performing?
Performance for 2024 shows kind of mixed results. On the plus side, there was a decrease in non-revenue water, that's water lost before it reaches customers, maybe through leaks or unbilled use. It dropped to 61.1%.
That good.
It's better, but 61% loss is still incredibly high, really.
Yeah.
Ideally, you want that much, much lower. Water supply coverage did increase slightly to 56.2%, but on the other hand, the collection rate, getting people to pay their bills, actually decreased slightly to 83.2%, less money coming in.
So challenges remain.
Definitely. The Institute emphasizes the need for these water companies to have more financial autonomy, better legal frameworks, and crucially, more active participation from municipalities in their management to improve overall sustainability.
And what about urban waste management? That's such a critical environmental issue. It affects quality of life, health, tourism, everything.
Yeah, waste is huge. For 2024, the central government supported 30 out of the 61 municipalities with a specific budget about 714 million leek, which is roughly $7 million. Municipalities are directly responsible for managing waste collection and disposal. About 68% of the costs are supposed to be covered by service fees paid by citizens and businesses.
Is the system working?
Well, there's a new draft law on integrated waste management in the pipeline, trying to align with European standards. That's positive. However, the report flags significant concern over 3 large incinerator projects. Despite large amounts of state funds being allocated to them, they lack real functionality.
What do you mean, lack functionality?
Well, apparently only the one in Elbasan has actually been operational, and even then only for a short period. The others are not running at full capacity, or perhaps at all. This failure is a major bottleneck. It significantly hinders effective waste management and environmental protection efforts across large parts of the country.
That sounds like a major problem. Okay, let's talk about the next generation preschool education. How are local governments handling this? It was transferred to them back in 2016, right?
Yes, transferred in 2016. But it faces several deep-seated challenges. Things like insufficient funding, first off, limited human capacity, not enough qualified staff, especially in rural areas, and also what the report calls an inflexible management model. It basically treats all municipalities the same, despite huge variations in their size, wealth, and resources.
So a one-size-fits-all approach doesn't work.
Exactly. You have these huge, relatively wealthy municipalities like Tirana, and then tiny, remote, mountainous ones, and they're all expected to manage preschool education in the same way. It's not realistic. So the Institute advocates for an asymmetrical approach here, too. Let the larger municipalities with more resources manage fully. But for the smaller, mountainous ones, maybe provide direct state support, both financial and administrative, to ensure kids everywhere get fair access to quality early education.
Right. Tailor the support. Moving to agriculture now, a cornerstone of Albania's economy. What's the state of irrigation and drainage? That infrastructure seems crucial for productivity and also for preventing floods.
Absolutely crucial. There was a sectoral transfer of funds in 2024, over 1 billion leek. That's about 9.8 million U.S. dollars specifically for this.
Okay, so investment is happening.
Yes, but the reality on the ground, according to the report, is pretty stark. Only 47% of agricultural land is actually equipped with irrigation and drainage infrastructure to begin with.
Less than half. Yeah.
And maybe more concerning are the critically low maintenance rates for what is there. Only 23% of irrigation canals are properly maintained, and just 13% for drainage canals.
13%? That's incredibly low.
It's dangerously low. It significantly increases flood risks, it damages crop yields, it leaves farmers really vulnerable. And there's also this unclear status surrounding the management and ownership of about 630 artificial lakes. These are vital reservoirs, especially for adapting to climate change and managing water resources, but it's not clear who's responsible for them.
That sounds like a recipe for problems. Okay, Albania declared 2024 the Albanian Year of Forests. Big title. Did that translate into actual tangible improvements for managing forests and pastures at the local level? These are vital ecosystems and resources for rural communities.
You'd hope so with a title like that. But unfortunately, the report indicates the challenges persisted significantly. Get this, only 19% of the 1.4 million hectares of forests and pastures are covered by proper management plans.
Only 19%.
19%. It's an alarmingly low figure.
Yeah.
And you couple that with critically minimal staffing, less than one employee per 1,000 hectares, which is way below EU averages. This isn't just a number. It means vast areas are essentially unmanaged and vulnerable.
So what are the consequences?
Well, illegal logging continues to be a problem. Overgrazing damages pastures and devastating forest fires. 2024 was actually one of the most severe years since 2012, with over 46,000 hectares affected.
Oh.
So yeah, the Year of Forests initiative, while well-intentioned perhaps, didn't seem to translate into the systemic changes needed to tackle these really deep-rooted issues.
That's disappointing. How are municipalities coping with civil protection more broadly, specifically things like fire and flood prevention?
These seem like absolutely crucial services, especially in a country prone to natural hazards.
The budget specifically for fire protection was 1.5 billion leek. Interestingly, the report notes that smaller municipalities often have a better ratio of firefighters and vehicles per capita than larger ones like Tirana.
Really? How come? Well, it could be due to population density. Maybe the sheer scale and complexity of the capital's infrastructure makes it harder to maintain a high ratio. The World Bank also flagged Albania's limited capabilities for fighting fires in remote wildland areas, which ties back into the forest management issues we just discussed.
Right, it's all connected. And floods.
Floods are a major concern. The report states 410 out of 626 dams have serious structural problems. It's a huge risk.
Over two-thirds.
Yes. And urban flooding is becoming a growing issue in major cities like Tirana, Durrës, Shkodrë, often due to inadequate drainage or uncontrolled construction. On a positive note, 8 municipalities have actually drafted local climate change adaptation plans. So there are some proactive efforts starting, but it feels like a small start given the scale of the challenges.
Definitely sounds like it. Okay, finally on services, let's look at urban planning. This really shapes the fabric of communities, right? Dictates how places grow, quality of life.
It does. And here, there's actually significant progress to report. Most municipalities, 56 out of the 61, have now approved their general local plans, their GLPs.
That sounds good. What are GLPs exactly?
They're the strategic framework for territorial development. They set out zones for housing, industry, green spaces, infrastructure, basically the blueprint for future growth. Only 5 municipalities are still in the drafting process for their GLPs.
So the framework is mostly in place?
The strategic framework, yes. That's big progress. However, the report does note that smaller municipalities often face delays when it comes to implementing these plans, getting detailed plans approved, ensuring compliance. It highlights, again, this ongoing need for technical and financial assistance to make sure development is balanced and sustainable across the whole country, not just concentrated in the bigger, wealthier centers.
Right, the capacity gap again. Okay, let's switch gears and talk money. The lifeblood of all these services. How did local government units actually perform financially in 2024?
Well, the overall budgetary performance was actually quite positive. Total financial resources reached 87.8 billion leek. That's roughly 850 million U.S. dollars. And that represents an increase of almost 20% over 2023. So significantly more money in the pot overall.
20% increase, that's substantial.
It is. And what's particularly fascinating here, according to the report, is that for the first time, own revenues money generated locally reached 47.8% of the total. That almost equaled the unconditional transfers coming from the central government, which were at 47.6%.
Almost a 50-50 split.
Pretty much. This indicates a growing reliance on locally generated funds, which, in principle, is a positive step towards greater financial autonomy for municipalities.
Okay, where did that impressive growth in their own revenues actually come from? And importantly, was it spread evenly across all municipalities?
Good question. The 27.5% increase in own revenues was primarily driven by two main sources. First, the infrastructure impact tax, basically a tax on new construction projects, which brought in an extra 5.5 billion leek. And second, property tax, which added another 1.27 billion leek.
Okay, construction and property taxes.
Yes, but, and this is a crucial point about equity, that the report highlights the municipality of Tirana collected over half, 53.4% of the total building tax revenue for the entire country.
Over half, just in Tirana.
Yes. And even more staggering, 72% of the total infrastructure impact tax.
72%.
Wow. Yeah. It clearly shows this massive concentration of revenue generation in the large urban centers, especially the capital. And it deepens the already significant financial disparities between the richer and poorer municipalities.
That disparity is stark. So, okay, more money was coming in overall, particularly into certain areas. But how was it actually spent across the board? Did this financial growth translate into more investment, more projects for local communities?
Well, here the picture's a bit more nuanced. While salaries and social insurance expenses went up by almost 15% reflecting those new salary policies, and investment in human resources, operating expenses actually decreased by 4.6%. And maybe more notably, capital investments, the money spent on new infrastructure, buildings, long-term projects, actually dropped by 10.8% compared to the previous year.
Dropped, despite revenues going up.
Exactly. It suggests that the increased revenues weren't fully translated into new operational initiatives, or, crucially, into capital projects. And that's a critical point for long-term development, right? For the ability of municipalities to actually build for the future.
Definitely raises questions about where that extra money went, or if it's just sitting there. What about municipal debt? The report talks about arrears, basically overdue bills to suppliers, contractors. How's that situation looking? Does it impact their stability?
Yeah, arrears can really cripple a municipality's ability to function. The good news overall is that total arrears decreased by 32.8% nationally, down to 3.19 billion leek at the end of 2024.
Okay, that's a positive trend.
It is, overall. But again, it's a very mixed picture when you look at individual municipalities. Unfortunately, 14 municipalities actually saw their arrears increase. And maybe more critically, four municipalities, Kavaja, Vora, Dimal, and Sarek, are now officially classified as being in financial difficulty.
What does that mean exactly?
It means their debts, their arrears, significantly exceed the legal limits. Kavaja's arrears, for instance, are at 58.9% of their annual spending. Vora is at 40%. The legal limit is 25%.
Way over the limit.
Far over. This situation can trigger state intervention or, at the very least, severely limit their ability to borrow or fund crucial public services and investment projects. The report notes public investments and service contracts are major contributors to these debts piling up.
A precarious situation for some. Okay, let's shift gears slightly to the digital frontier. Cybersecurity. It feels like an increasingly critical issue everywhere. How are Albanian municipalities tackling this, especially given the growing threat of cyber attacks?
It's a really serious and growing threat. You're right. Cyber attacks can disrupt everything from citizen data systems to essential service delivery networks. And there's now a specific law, Law Num 2520/24, on cybersecurity, which actually classifies municipalities as critical infrastructure operators.
Ah, so they have significant legal obligations now.
They do. It imposes serious requirements for protection. In 2024, the report says municipalities made some strides, drafting policies, training staff, implementing risk management procedures.
Yet.
But challenges persist. A lack of sufficient financial resources, naturally. A shortage of skilled human resources to manage complex IT security. Inadequate IT infrastructure in some, particularly smaller, municipalities, and delays in getting the necessary clarifying bylaws adopted to fully implement the main law. So it's definitely a work in progress, but one with really vital implications for service continuity and maintaining public trust.
Absolutely. Okay, finally, let's confront a challenging topic, one that really touches the foundation of trust in local government, integrity and accountability, specifically for local elected officials.
Yeah, this is crucial, and it raises that important question. What's the real tangible cost of corruption, not just financially, but in terms of public trust? The report presents some stark figures. In recent years, more than half of all Albania's local government units have been affected by investigations. 36 mayors or former leaders have faced accusations of corruption or vote buying, and 15 former mayors or vice mayors have actually been found guilty by the courts.
That's a shocking number, more than half affected by investigations.
It is, and this doesn't just damage public trust, though it certainly does that. It can deter investment, it weakens administration, it diverts scarce resources away from public services, but the report also frames this as, potentially, an opportunity. An opportunity to strengthen the rule of law, to reform institutions. Well, the Institute recommends things like strengthening prevention mechanisms, making corruption harder in the first place, improving appointment processes for key positions, and, crucially, boosting the oversight role of the municipal councils themselves, making them more effective watchdogs. It's about rebuilding trust and ensuring ethical governance from the ground up.
Wow, okay. We have definitely covered a lot of ground there. We've navigated this really intricate, dynamic landscape of local government in Albania, from those dramatic demographic shifts reshaping where people live and work, right down to the daily realities of water supply, waste management, even these newer challenges like cybersecurity. It really feels like we've seen a system that's grappling with both, you know, significant progress in some areas, but also these persistent, quite deep-seated challenges in others.
Indeed. I think that's a fair summary. While you can see clear efforts towards things like decentralization, towards increased transparency, the report really highlights these critical areas that need urgent ongoing attention. Things like the financial fragility and the really uneven distribution of resources among many municipalities. That's huge. The ongoing struggle to deliver some essential services efficiently and effectively across the board. The need for more genuine citizen engagement in local decision making.
Yeah.
And as we've just discussed, the fundamental importance of integrity and accountability at the local level.
Right.
These aren't just minor details, are they? They're really foundational pillars for effective governance and crucially for Albania's whole journey towards European integration. It's all interconnected.
Absolutely. So thinking about all this, what does it mean for you, our listener, given this picture of immense potential, but also undeniable challenges in local governance, especially with that concentration of population and resources in just a few areas, the financial gaps, and that direct link to Albania's European future? What is your role, perhaps, as an informed citizen in advocating for a truly balanced, truly responsive local government, one that genuinely serves all of Albania's communities, big or small, urban or rural, one that ensures local needs are actually met and those national aspirations can realistically be realized? Something to perhaps ponder as you reflect on the deep dive we've just taken together.